Mark chapter 15. I'm going to read several verses here. And straightway in the morning, this is in chapter 15, verse 1, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, Pilate released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "What, or will ye that I therefore release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I should do unto him whom you call king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Of course, there you see the substitution right there. The innocent was going to be guilty, and the guilty, which we are from birth, was set free. Now you think about this. Now this is the chief priest. Now, these are the religious folk of the day. Desired, and again, I brought this up before, if you got little children, this would really be interesting. They desired that he would release one who was a rebel against society and who committed murder, to release in their midst. The hatred of God and his gospel knows no bounds. It knows no bounds. Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, and he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." What I want to look at particularly and specifically is verse 23. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. An incidental passage, perhaps. Doesn't look like there's much there. But let that right there sink into your psyche. Just mull it over. and mull it over. Christ must suffer. He must suffer physically, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. His soul was in agony. And just to, and some say, and I can't remember, but in this passage and the corresponding passages, you have over 100 prophecies being fulfilled. That's how important, that's how all the Old Testament and the Law and the Prophets, they were pointing to this time in history that was happening right here. So many scriptures were fulfilled at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about this when we were in Bible class, talking about free will. God allowed man to touch his son one time. And what did they do? They slaughtered him. What would we have done? It's easy to say, but me, I wouldn't have done that. We would have been like the other thief on the cross, casting the same in his teeth. They slaughtered him. And I read this passage. They spit on him, mocked him, crown of thorns on his head. Let's just look at some of the passages that leads up to this point. It all point forward to this. In Genesis chapter 3, I believe the first mention, Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, deceived Adam and Eve, thou art cursed above all cattle, and every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall bruise your head, you'll bruise his heel. He got his fangs in his heel, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he crushed, absolutely crushed, the head of the serpent. We talked about that in John. Satan, he's on a leash. He can't do anything without permission. Psalms 22. And I'm just reading to you the passages from Scripture that declare and point so clearly to the Lord Jesus Christ and His sufferings that He would undergo. And then I want to go back to our text and look at just two things. Psalms 22. Let's just read a little bit here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cries of Christ on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou dost deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And that's exactly what was said. How do you read this? Do you read it with an eye to David or with an eye to Christ? As he agonized both physically and most importantly, spiritually, of the agony of soul for the justice of God and for the sins of his people. Isaiah 53. And we could have spent years just looking at these passages. Isaiah 53 and verse 11. God shall see the travail of the son's soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's what was happening on the cross. He was bearing the iniquities of all the elect throughout all time. Travail, that word is to toil, to severely toil, wearisome, troublesome. And there was no soul agony like our Lord's agony upon the cross. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, Christ says. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. I'm not gonna step aside. I'm not gonna dodge the bullet. I'm not gonna turn my back on wrath. I'm gonna meet it. For this hour came I into the world. And he says in another place, he had a baptism to be baptized with, and he was straightened, he was affixed until he accomplished that. Acts chapter 3. In verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Not only did he do suffer, but he fulfilled and entered in righteousness. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not like those old priests who could never sit down. There was never a bench. There was never a chair in the tent of meetings, the tabernacle, either place. They could never sit down. Why? Because the work's never done. And man couldn't do the work. When Christ did it, he sat down. This is why he's hanging on the cross. And lastly, Revelation chapter 5, for our text that we're going to look at this morning. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. He suffered in death, he endured the cross, endured the shame, endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. Back to our text. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. So, well, he did receive it. Well, that he was offered twice. Now look at verse 36 of the same chapter. And one ran as he was calling to his father and filled a sponge full of vinegar, it's different, and put it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. And when he did so, verse 37, he cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So this is two different instances. Very important. It's just two things. Why did Christ not take this mixture? Well, first of all, that word myrrh, it's a tincture, which means it's pharmaceutical. It's a mixture. It's a mixture for anesthetic purposes. It's actually, in the concordance, a narcotic. To ease the suffering, to cut the edge off the Savior's pain, in agony. That's what that would have done. But what does the text say? He did not take it. Now, there's just two. I just see two things. Enoch knows something about anesthesia, and Ron. It's a good thing for us, because if you have a low threshold for pain. I remember I went and visited a guy in the hospital. He had major back surgery when I was working for the city, and went to visit him, and he had that plunger. It's morphine, and he's going. He's hitting that thing until he just passed out. It's like, somebody come and take this thing away from him. That's what we do. That's what we do. But I want to go back to our text again and emphasize. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not receive it. The first reason why he did not take this mixture to fulfill all Scripture. He must fulfill and accomplish everything that the Old Testament said he would to the letter. Someone, not us, must satisfy God's law. Now, I don't care what these people in this community, they put out on their front yard, the Ten Commandments, and they say they're going to live by them. Well, they don't understand what they're doing. Because the Scripture says, do you not hear the law? If you're going to live by, you're going to live by every one of them. Every law. And really, that's just the, quote, moral law. We've kind of broken it up. But really, it's the whole, you better live by this everything. Perfectly. Perfectly. Can it be done? Can't be done. We're born in sin. We're not even in the playing field. We don't even have one foot in the batter's box. We're out. We're born in trespasses and sins. He first did this. He did not take that mixture to fulfill and satisfy all Scriptures. There's your obedience. It's done. If people, they say, well, okay, I want this outline to be a certain way, and I want to hear certain things. If you like the law, if you're a lawmonger, if you enjoy that, there it is. He fulfilled everything, jot and tittle, that we couldn't. There you go. So that's important. Absolutely. He didn't bypass the law to gain our righteousness. No, he fulfilled the law. Satisfied the law. There's your obedience. There's your dead letter, air-free substitute, hanging and dying on the cross, offered a little anesthesia. Just take the edge off. I will not do it. That's how wicked, vile, and corrupt sin is. It's sin is a reproach to any people. It's like you said, they don't have a clue who God is. They don't have a clue what sin is. Sin is you get your hand caught in a cookie jar. That's what it is. Something, you know, and I like sports, so I've been keeping up on this Ryan Braun thing. The more he talks, the more ignorant he sounds. Just admit. But that's too late for that. Oh, how we need such a one as Christ to do all this for us. But there's more. There's something more. He did not take, secondly, this mixture because he must meet head on, square on, full face, full force, eye to eye. He must take all of God's wrath for sin. And he said, I will not take the edge off one ounce. Just Just take a little. He was tempted in some points like us, all points. Yet, did not sin. Spiritually, the soul agony that he underwent in the garden until he said, "It's finished," and gave up the ghost, he's not going to shave one small corner of what he must suffer for his elect. That's why the God you believe, the God you trust, he better be the God. You better have a perfect righteousness, or you won't be able to stand. It's not 99.999. It's not so close. You've got to have Christ. He would not back off, but fully and completely and totally endure all the shame and all the pure justice of God required upon our hands, then he could give up the ghost. Yet if he takes a shortcut in his sufferings, both physical, mental, or spiritual, then he has failed. And we are yet in our sins. They're not covered. And as old Jonathan Edwards said years ago, we do not want to fall in the hands of an angry God. We don't want to do it. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he refused it. He absolutely refused it. Let us never, ever think sin is an easy thing to put away. Let us never trivialize or justify or excuse our sin. If we do, it will surely be our undoing. It takes the death of a pure, a holy, an immaculate sacrifice to put away sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. I like how this is worded. Says it this way. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. Hebrews 9, chapter 12. He, having obtained, it's past tense. The work has been done, it's accomplished. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Not by the blood of bulls and goats. He said, well, why was that done in the Old Testament? Well, we could discuss that, but it wasn't by the blood of bulls. God never intended to take away sin. But by his own blood, as he's hanging on that cross. He hadn't fully suffered, fully, completely suffered, because they offered him, just take this narcotic. It'll take the edge off. Wasn't going to do it. Because God's exacting, God's law is exacting, God's righteousness, God's justice. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why he didn't take it. That's why he would not. It takes the shedding of blood to put away sin. It takes the Son of God, God's own Son, Emmanuel, to place his blood on the mercy seat of God's justice to purge our filthy hearts. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 22 through the end. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins, and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once. Now that, the Roman Catholic Church, when they do the sacraments, so they call it, that's what they're saying. They said they're crucifying them over and over and over. Once. What a Savior we worship. To put away millions and millions of sins of all of his people throughout all time. He didn't have to do that for his own sins. This he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated or perfected forever. That's what we need. We need someone who is perfect. Having obtained that message that was I told you about, 7 stubborn questions. Tim preached 7 stubborn. Did Christ put away sin or not? It is only 2 things. Either he did or he didn't. Did he obtain redemption for his people? Or he did. Either did or he did, or he's trying to. Either he died for everybody, and everybody's going to be saved, or he didn't, and those for whom he died for, he effectually saved. You just can't, it's just one. Either God rules and governs, or he doesn't rule, and he is governed. And waiting on our little weak, mealy-mouthed, spineless will to decide for Jesus. And you know, the thing is when we go through sufferings and pains and difficulties, this Christ is the only one who you can find comfort in. Because he's always there. He's always on his throne. Oh, he's seated. He's comfortable. The work's done. The work's accomplished. And you know another beautiful thing about this message? One day, he will bring someone who knows this truth, understands this gospel, the only gospel, the everlasting gospel. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. He didn't receive it. They're going to come and preach because of the light that they've been given and understand the truth. They're going to cross your path and tell you or verbalize or preach the good news of Christ and him crucified. And the what and the who and the how of the fear of all that, what, who, and how can we fear any longer? If he's for us, who can be against us? Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because the fear of man, we all have it. Bruce talked about it in Bible class, or Christ said, I'm not going to be with you, I'm sending the Comforter. They were sad because obviously, friend, you know, they would be a sad situation. And he said, their hate was pinpointed on me because I'm here. He said, now it's going to be pinpointed on you because of me. And it's a difficult time. And this world is as religious as it was back then. There's a church on every corner. Everybody has an opinion. But let me say this, which you alluded to. Who hath believed our report? This book is done. It's finished. I mean, there's no more. You don't add any more chapters. You don't take anything of it. It's finished. It's a report. That's what I do. I stand up here and I read the report. And I tell you what the report says. And that's it. We have no opinions. Man's opinion means nothing. It doesn't alter. It won't change this book. Whether we believe it or don't believe it, it doesn't matter. God will be glorified regardless. Illustration, when he came in riding that donkey, and the Pharisees had shut the people up. What did he say? He said, go ahead and shut them up. But these rocks and these stones, it's prophesied that when I come walking in, there's going to be a lot of hosannas in the highest. It's going to happen. So whether you shut these folks up, the elements will come alive and give me glory. I'm thankful that he's allowed us one more Sunday. We don't know if we got tomorrow. One more Sunday to gather together and to preach him. That's the only thing that would do you any good, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. The truth of Christ and him crucified is the only thing that will do us any good. And then when we get together, we talk about him. Fellowship. It's fellowship about around him. So the what, the who, and the how, we don't fear that. Christ hath died, yea, he is risen, and we are saved. We have been redeemed. It's just, this verse is just like it's just a little. It's just stuck in here almost. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. What's it going to hurt? One drink. We're undone in our sins. So exacting is this book. So without error is our Redeemer. We must have. I'm glad somebody paid attention to detail. You hear that? Paid attention to detail. And I close with this, and I didn't have this in here, but I just will say this. What about you and I? Would we, if we knew our decision, whatever it may be, would cost us the glory of God? Would we still want our life of ease, as it were? Would we still want our way if we knew that that decision would have ramifications and down the line, etc., etc., if we knew that God would be dishonored? No. Chuck it. Just, that's what he did. He satisfied. He would not take a shortcut, as it were. And I've told you this, and I've told the children this, and it's going to happen. Experience is going to, that's going to be your best teacher. That's how you're going to learn. And we wish we could take a lot of things away, take it for you. But it's the best, if everything is working together for good, everything together for your spiritual and eternal good, we would have it no other way. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, who would not refuse to even take that drink. For he did it for us. He was that selfless. He did it for us. May God be the glory. Bruce, would you close us, please?